According to one leading authority, namely my 8-year-old granddaughter, Maya, without snow, what's the point of Christmas? Needless to say, she was quite excited and relieved to awaken yesterday morning to a world of new-fallen snow, a world made ready for Christmas. Like my granddaughter, I too have my sensibilities about what makes for a proper Christmas. Candles in the windows, a real Christmas tree brimming with the scent of pine, scouring the mail each day for newly arrived Christmas cards, familiar ornaments and table decorations, favorite Christmas carols, the secret wrapping of gifts, and the joy of finding something special to give away. My mother's homemade fudge and, yes, dark fruitcake, as well as the stolen for Christmas morning. Gatherings of family and friends, setting up the manger scene in the living room, holding a lit candle at the close of Christmas Eve service, listening to my father read The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, followed by the retelling of the story of Jesus' birth. And then all five of us kids crowding atop my parents' bed to open our stockings on Christmas morning after getting permission to sneak downstairs to see if Santa really had come this year. All these images and memories helped to shape my idea of Christmas, but none of them are what Christmas is all about. For that, at least in the pages of my memory, I turn elsewhere in the pages of the Christmas Ideals magazine, a poem I first encountered there. Even as a child, I knew that magazine was way too saccharine and cloying. Nonetheless, I religiously skimmed the photographs and poems of that magazine each December, which introduced me to the words of Philip Brooks, who not only authored our opening hymn this morning, but also wrote these words: "Everywhere, everywhere, Christmas tonight. Christmas in lands of fir tree and pine, Christmas in lands of palm tree and vine, Christmas where snow peaks stand solemn and white, Christmas where cornfields stand sunny and bright, Christmas where children are hopeful and gay, Christmas where old men are patient and gray, Christmas where peace, like a dove in his flight, broods o'er brave men in the thick of the fight. Everywhere, everywhere, Christmas tonight. For the Christ child who comes is the master of all. No palace too great, no cottage too small. Christmas comes not as a fixed day on the calendar, not as familiar customs and traditions, not as memories of a long ago event in a foreign land, not as nicely lit and well-appointed and colorfully decorated homes, not as a reward for being blanketed in snow, but Christmas comes, in the words of Mary, to turn our world upside down. To give us not just a momentary reprieve from the harshness and regret and disappointments of life, but a startling new world where the hungry are fed, where the poor and lonely and destitute are raised up and restored to wholeness, where the proud are brought low, where the powerful are toppled, and where the rich are told that their checkbooks will no longer buy them success or happiness or access to the halls of Congress. This is a world we can barely imagine or hope for or dream of. A world we absolutely cannot create on our own. a world that is completely of God's making, but which calls for and demands our assistance. Whatever we do or do not believe about the Virgin Mary, it means at least two things for those of us who are Protestants. God is doing something unprecedented, and God needs a human partner to make it happen. Let me repeat. Whatever we do or do not believe about the Virgin Mary, it means at least these two things. God is doing something unprecedented, and God needs a human partner to do it. To say yes, as Mary said yes, and to believe as Mary believed, is to know that you and I also are called to be Christ bearers. Persons prepared to sing God's praises even as we work to overturn the status quo. Persons who do not shrug our shoulders at life's misfortune and injustice, but who dare to believe and proclaim that life can be different, better, for all of us, rich and poor, powerful and powerless, proud and humble. As Philip Brooks declared, no palace too great, no cottage too small. What does it mean to be a Christ bearer today? To be a Christ bearer means doing nothing to take advantage of others, or sitting quietly when we see others doing that same thing. To be a Christ bearer is to birth love, hope, forgiveness, gentleness, peace, joy. In a world full of discord, hate, violence, distrust, disease, and doubt. To be a Christ bearer is to do more than merely shake our head or say a prayer over the problems of homelessness and poverty, but to recognize these persons as our sisters and brothers, persons like Lenora and Robert that we have sat next to in this sanctuary. Not really knowing how desperate they really were. To be a Christ bearer is to take to heart the words of John the Baptist, offering a coat to those who are without. And if you have not yet had a chance to do that as part of our bringing in Christmas, you have not missed that opportunity. There is still time. To be a Christ bearer is to follow the example of the nonviolent Prince of Peace, standing up to and saying no to all forms of bullying, gay bashing, racism, and gun violence. When we do all these things, we join Mary as God's partners, co-creators, in bringing a brand new world to birth. We can't do it alone. We need God, and we need each other. That's why I invite us, as we look to the year ahead as a congregation, to do everything we can to build up the bonds of fellowship and community, truly caring for each other, especially those who are newer and younger or somehow different from the rest of us. For that same reason, I call us to do everything we can to make children and families feel as welcome and supported here as possible. To bottle up our prayers and emotions from last week and turn them into lasting good for our children and youth. Last but not least, I also invite us to hear the stories those who have come to this country and this church from far off lands, to know that their lives and hearts and destinies are now entwined with ours. For the past year and a half, I have been privileged to be part of our denomination's effort to end the plague of malaria in sub-Sahara Africa, a disease that is particularly devastating to young children and pregnant mothers. It's a new form of Christian missionary work, not one in which we go elsewhere to tell people how they should live, but simply in which we go to help them live. In 5 years' time, we have cut the rate of death from malaria in half. Yet still, a child in Africa dies every 60 seconds from that disease. But that's still an abstract number. And so I contacted some of our African families this week to listen to their stories and how malaria has impacted them in their own growing up. One of our members who comes from Zimbabwe, where 50% of all children do not reach their fifth birthday because of malaria. The nation of Zimbabwe, where we have started 20 years ago, Africa University, and have pledged our continuing support, with half of the children never even having a chance to know about the gift that waits them. Solomon wrote these words to me. My experience with malaria, it involves fever, loss of appetite, weakening of joints, vomiting, loss of memory, and cerebral damage, especially if treatment is not received in time, perhaps even resulting in paralysis, let alone death. Jerome, too, talked to me about his own experience as a young boy growing up, contending with malaria. You feel like you're going out of your brain, he says. The whole body is hot. You yell and scream. It dries you up. It lasts for 3 weeks. And if you have no access to hospital and no access to medicine and no money to pay for any of those, the traditional medicines, tree roots, are all that can be found. So I invite us as a congregation not simply to celebrate what our church is doing to raise up new leaders in Africa and to care for the youngest of those children of Africa to escape the clutches of malaria, but to listen to the very stories in our midst. And as we do so, to pray that God will make us more and more and more bearers of Christ, Christ's love, Christ's hope, Christ's light, Christ's peace, Christ's healing and reconciliation here in this congregation, here in this community, and beyond, to the very ends of the earth.